Excellent. Okay. I am Susan Young. I am the chair of the PNB from 2024, and I am the convener of this, which is the convening meeting for the PNB 2025, January 30th, 2025, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, by Zoom. Will the secretary from 2024 please take the role?
Will do. So folks, answer up when I call your name, please. Todger Brown. I'll keep going. Donna Carter. I'll keep going. Fred Dodsworth. All right. I'll keep going. Jerome Edge.
Present.
Thank you, Jerome. Sally Gellert.
Here.
Thank you, Sally. Jan Goodman. I'll keep going. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Avalia Jones.
I'm here.
Thank you, Avalia. Zach Caldvier.
There.
Thank you, Zach. Phil Muldery.
I'm here.
Thank you. Did I get that right, Phil?
Yes. Accent on the first syllable.
Okay, got it. Great. And I called you Phil, even though it says Philip. I'm sorry. Marianne Martinez.
Here.
Thank you, Marianne. Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am.
Thank you, Sean. Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Thank you, Ron. Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Serene Roberts.
I'm here, but there's some funny echoey thing happening. Is somebody needs to turn off their speaker or something?
I agree someone does, but I can't tell who it is. James Sagerton. I'll keep going. Minerva Sanders.
Excuse me, but point of personal privilege. If folks would just mute until they're called upon, their name's called, then we're getting a lot of distorted sound. Everybody mute if you're not speaking. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Minerva's here. Alex Steinberg. I'll keep going. Harvey Wasserman.
Dennis Harvey Williams. Requested an excuse.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Dennis Williams.
I'm here.
Thank you, Dennis. Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Thank you, Michael. And Susan Young.
Here.
Yeah, thank you. Let me go back up the top in case people have joined since I started. Todger Brown. Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Fred Dodsworth. Jan Goodman. Oh, Jan asked for an excused absence too, right?
No. No.
Not.
No, she did not ask for an excused absence. It was confusing. It was Harvey, not Jan.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry. Okay. In any event, I haven't heard from Jan. Let me keep going. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you, James. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Thank you, Alex. Let me just try again. Todger Brown. Fred Dodsworth, Jan Goodman. Okay, in any event, you have 18 members, Madam Convener, so that is quorum. Let me continue by checking in to see, is Stephanie Wells here?
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Is Arthur Schwartz here? Not yet. Is Aki Tanaka here as recording secretary?
I'm here.
Thank you, Aki. Okay, there you go, Madam Convener. You're muted.
Thank you. Report from the executive session of January 16th. Report out. The PNB met in executive session to address confidential financial and legal matters. Excused absences. There was a request for excused absence from Harvey Wasserman. Is there any objection? Serene.
Okay, thanks. I have a point of parliamentary inquiry. I know that a motion was sent to, there's a motion that we had from last two weeks ago, with regard to the KPFK delegation and the fact that their election was not properly held. And I'd like to know when I can raise that, because I do not believe they should be seated until that is rectified.
They have been seated by virtue of this roll call. If you wish to challenge the election, you need to bring it in as a new motion in executive session. Not in executive session, meaning in new business.
Okay. Well, it was on last week's, I keep saying last week, my God, the last meeting. And I was told that I couldn't raise it then. So why is it not possible for me to raise it at the start of this meeting?
All right. We are not carrying forward any old business from 2024. So that means it's new business in 2025. Please send in the motion to be included in new business. So, moving on, excused absences. Are there any objections to excusing the absence of Harvey Wasserman? Hearing none, that's excused. Identified timekeepers. I understand that Fred Dodsworth, I asked if we had volunteers to be timekeepers. Fred offered to do timekeeping for people. And Marianne Martinez agreed to do timekeeping for items. Just a quick note that the practice of this organization is that people have 90 seconds for the first time that they speak, 60 seconds for the second time that they speak. When we get to the end of an agenda item, if there's a motion to extend, that requires a two-thirds vote if there is an exception. And we exhaust the stack for people who have not as yet spoken. And we either go to the next item or we go to the vote. Excused identified timekeepers, agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. And let me say that I see Julie's got her hand up.
Who's the timer for items?
Items is Marianne Martinez.
Okay, sorry.
Agenda, we only have open session this evening, because we do not have all of our NDAs collected, and I know that there's some questions about whether there are disputes about what the NDA, how the NDA is written, so those may need to be addressed. Myla, you've got your hand up.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to you to take note that Kasia Brown, Jan Goodman, and Fred Dodsworth all arrived a few minutes ago, but they weren't called during roll call. I mean, they were absent during roll call.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Madam Secretary, would you like to recognize them and have them speak?
Yes. Kaja Brown?
Present.
Thank you, Kaja. Fred Dodsworth?
Present.
Thank you, Fred. Jan Goodman?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Continuing. Agenda approval. I will read it. Agenda approval, 5 minutes. Elect chair number 3 is elect chair pro tem and secretary pro tem, 10 minutes. Take nominations for, well, that's the item. I'll go through the detail when we get there. Minutes approval for January 16th, 5 minutes. Thanking the 2024 PMB directors and not returning is 5 minutes. Executive director report and Q&A, 20 minutes. Director introductions, 35 minutes. Motion on procedure for election of officers, see appendix, 10 minutes. Nominations from the floor for officers, 10 minutes. And that is chair, vice chair, or PMB secretary. Set next meeting and or meeting schedule for 2025. Discussion of non-disclosure agreements and executive session. New business, 5 minutes. I have lots of hands up. First, is there any objection to the agenda as written? Are these motions to amend?
Motion to amend.
Okay, Alex, what's your motion?
I would like to add a motion that came from the WVAI local station board that was sent today by the Kay Williams, the secretary of the WBI LSB. I would like to add that to the agenda. I think a good place would be prior to the discussion of the NDA.
No, it goes in new business, and any last-minute motions do, but let me also suggest you, it was written as a motion from the LSB. It was not written as a motion to the PNB. So
the LSB is a committee of the PNB, so it's a motion from a committee, and it should have priority. It is not new business. Sorry.
It is. I apologize. It is new business. Any last-minute motions coming from anyone are new business. Serene.
I would like to add it to the order.
He has not been recognized.
I have been recognized. I'm sorry.
No, you haven't.
I'm not hearing who's talking. So the ruling of the chair is it is a new business item. There's an objection that it be put in under something earlier, committee report or something. And so we will, Alex objects, and we can take a vote. If you vote yes, you're supporting a ruling of the chair that would be a new business. If you vote no, you're supporting the objection that it should be in earlier in the agenda. Madam Secretary, will you take the roll?
Yes.
I'm sorry, a point of information before we start.
What's your point?
Where in the agenda would we be moving this to?
Alex was not clear. He said before NDAs. So it would be 11. So yes, you support the chair that it stays in new business. No, you support the objection that it be a new number 11. So, Madam Secretary, will you take the...
Yes, I will. So, folks, please vote yes, no, pass, or abstain. And I'll repeat your vote after I hear it. And just vote, no commentary. Kaja Brown?
Yes.
Kaja's a yes. Donna Carter?
No.
Donna's a no. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes.
Fred's a yes. Jerome Edge?
Yes.
Jerome's a yes. Sally Gellert?
No.
Sally's a no. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Julie Hewitt, I'm gonna pass. Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Phil Muldery?
Yes.
Phil's a yes. Philip, sorry. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes.
Sean's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
Abstain.
Ron abstains. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Serene Roberts?
No.
Serene's a no. James Sagerton?
No.
James a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Alex Steinberg?
No.
Alex is no. Harvey's excused. Dennis Williams?
No.
Dennis is a no. Michael Woodson?
Yes.
Michael's a yes. Going back up to the top, Julie Hewitt, you passed. How do you wish to vote? I'm going to abstain. Madam Convener, the yeses are 12, the noes are 6.
So that item goes into new business. Are there any other objections to the agenda as amended with that item added to new business? Hearing that, the agenda is approved as amended.
Can you not hear me? Hello?
I did not hear you, Serene.
I said yes, I object.
Okay, so Madam Chair, Madam Secretary, please so recognize.
I would like to explain what I'm objecting to.
All right. Okay. You're recognized, so, Serene.
Yes, I'm speaking. You can't hear me?
I could not. No, I couldn't.
Okay. The phone is as close as I can get it to my mouth right now. Okay, hope this is better. I am concerned about the KPFK folks being able to vote on anything when the question is whether or not they were legally elected and how can they possibly be participating if that's still an issue. So I would ask that we pause all other business and address that first before we continue with the meeting.
I
would like us to agenda that now.
Okay, this is new business. Once again, we need a vote. If you sustain the chair that this is in new business, vote yes. If you agree with Serene that this needs to be taken up right now, vote no. Sorry, Madam Secretary, please take the vote again.
Hello?
You've already spoken to it, Serene. It's obvious on its face. Let's vote.
No, Madam Chair, if I'm appealing the ruling of the chair, I get to speak to why I'm appealing the ruling of the chair.
Call the member to order.
Yeah. Serene, we're going to go to a vote. Madam Secretary, please take a vote.
Madam Chair, this is a debatable item. You cannot simply say you can't debate it.
Mr. Steinberg was not recognized.
Well, I'm about to have my rights.
Mr. Steinberg has still not been recognized by the chair.
Yes. Alex, we're going to go to the vote.
You cannot go to a vote without a debate. This is a debatable item.
This is a...
Two in favor, two against. Alex and Serene speak to... putting this item early at this point in the agenda. Two people speak against, and then we'll vote. Serene, Alex, which one of you wants to speak first?
I'm fine with going first. Sorry, go ahead.
If there's a question about the legitimacy of the seating of certain board members, then it should be taken up now. It is not a matter of new business. It's proper to introduce that item at the time when the new board is being seated, and that is right now. So how this becomes new business is beyond me. This should be addressed right now. And let's hear the arguments back, pro and con, for why certain board members have been elected legitimately or not legitimately. And let's discuss it and vote on it.
Myla?
Yeah. The vote for directors was taken by the delegates from KPFK. The candidates were all, the names of all of the candidates were submitted in writing prior to December 31st. And, any motion to not recognize the legitimacy of the, KPFK directors is, contrary to the bylaws and out of order.
Serene?
Okay, thanks. The KPFK minority, and it's a significant minority, right? It's not like they have two people on the board. I think it's 11, 13 or something like that is the distribution. They wrote to the PNB at our last meeting. The PNB secretary replied 8 hours later, just before the start of the meeting, saying, oh, maybe a director can bring the motion. And then I was blocked from bringing the motion. The fact is that they received no notice, and it has been customary. It's a relatively young board, but there are people who've been on for 25 years in governance. Nobody gave them any notice, which we were told by a parliamentarian would be required because of special order. Nobody gave them any notice with regard to the December 31st.
You are not deadline. Arguing about where to place it in okay. The agenda. You're arguing the motion itself.
Well, I'm explaining the urgency. And further, the board has not ratified the so-called vote. So how can they appear here on behalf of a board that has not even ratified the election? This needs to be put on pause.
Which board has not ratified the election?
The LSB, the delegates of KPFK.
The
all of that information was sent.
90 seconds is up.
Okay, is there anyone who wants to speak from KPFK? Otherwise, we'll take the vote. And the vote is, if you sustain the chair, this goes into new business. If you don't sustain the chair, we deal with it right now. So, Madam Secretary, please take the vote.
Okay, here we go. Hodger Brown?
I pass for right now.
Okay, Hodger passes. Donna Carter?
Pass.
Donna passes. Fred Dodsworth?
Sustain at the ruling of the chair.
Fred's a yes. Jerome Edge?
I abstain right now.
Abstain is for good. Pass means skip me and come back.
Not pass.
You're going to pass. Okay. Jerome is a pass. Sally Geller?
No.
Sally's a no. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Julie Hewitt, I'm going to pass. Avalia Jones?
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Philip Muldery?
Yes.
Philip's a yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes, ma'am.
Sean's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
No.
I'm sorry, Ron, was that a no? Ron's
yes,
a no?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla's a yes. Serene Roberts?
Oh, no, and I have a question before you announce the count, please.
Okay, Serene's a no. James Sagerton?
No.
James a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
The nerve is a yes. Alex Steinberg?
No.
Alex is a no. Harvey's excused. Dennis Williams?
No.
Dennis is a no. Michael Woodson?
Yes.
Michael's a yes. Okay, I have a bunch of people who passed. Kaja Brown?
Yes.
Kaja's a yes. Donna Carter?
No.
Donna's a no. Jerome Edge?
Yes.
Jerome is a yes. Julie Hewitt, I'll abstain. I'm at the point, Madam Convener, where I would announce the count.
Wait a second. So let me ask Surima to your question.
Yeah, the people who are affected, the people who, the three people just voted, who are the subject of this motion. That's improper.
And so, Serena, I'm calling you out of order. We have completed the vote. Madam Secretary, will you please announce the vote?
I'm sorry, are you calling me out of order or are you disagreeing with me?
I'm both.
You recognize me, I spoke, and now I'm out of order. Okay.
Madam Convener, the yeses are 12, the noes are 7.
Okay, so the next agenda item is elect chair pro tem and secretary pro tem, 10 minutes. Take nominations from the floor for chair pro tem. Vote on chair pro tem. Voting is by roll call. Take nominations from the floor for secretary pro tem. Vote on secretary pro tem. Voting is by roll call. The convener steps aside and the chair pro tem takes over, chairing the meeting at this point. Madam Secretary, I will step aside, for nominations for chair pro tem. Will you seek nominations?
Yes, happy to do that. Just let me make sure I have my notes up so that I can write these down. Okay. I'm accepting nominations from the floor for chair pro tem. Are there any nominations? Alex Steinberg.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Dennis Williams, with your point of information.
Yeah, so what is the term that we are of these offices?
I'll continue, Madam Convener. We are electing a chair pro tem who is the chair for the duration of this meeting and technically until we would complete voting for the chair for the rest of the year. So it's really just, you know, it's temporary, right? Okay. Thank you, Dennis. I see Alex, Dennis, Myla, and Jan's hands. Well, now I don't see Dennis's, but go ahead, Alex.
I'll nominate myself.
Okay. Alex Steinberg is nominated. Thank you, Alex. Myla Reason.
I'd like to nominate Susan Young.
Susan Young is nominated. Thank you, Myla. I'm going to lower Alex's hand and I'm going to, was there another hand up or?
Jan's hand was up, but I lowered it.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. Any other nominations for chair pro tem? Hearing none, the two candidates are Alex Steinberg and Susan Young. And so now we vote on chair pro tem, I'm sorry, folks. I'm coming off of a cold, and I can switch gears here. But I just need one more second. To make note of what I'm taking the vote on. And this is a roll call vote because it's not secret because it's a very temporary position.
Excuse me, before we go to a vote, don't we get a chance to explain why we want to run?
Yes, please. Absolutely. Each of you gets, 90 seconds to, you know, go ahead. Alex.
Okay. I was the chair of the National Board for 2 years during a very difficult time from 2021 to 2022. During that period, I tried to always be fair, and I don't have a double standard for people that are in my faction, people that are not in my faction. I just want to point out that the convener, while correctly saying that Serene was discussing a matter that instead of a substantive matter instead of the agenda, that the convener did not do the same thing when Myla Reason was also discussing a substantive matter instead of the agenda. And that is a double standard. I assume this was not a deliberate thing, but if you're going to be chair, you have to be very careful and always maintain impartiality. One other thing I want to say is that when I was active on the board and as chair, I took a great interest in developing a strategic plan for Pacifica. I think that's where we have to go. We desperately need alternative revenue streams, and we really need to reorganize this foundation if we're going to withstand the political persecution that's coming down from the Trump regime.
Thank you, Alex. Susan, would you like to
speak? Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I chaired the PMB last year, and I chaired the KPFT local station board the year before. I have a lot of experience as a chair. We accomplished a great deal, including cutting the debt in half and moving forward to digitize 20,000 tapes a year. We have accomplished more in a single year than has been accomplished in many years. And I think that, yes, alternative revenues are very important, but those that were explored in 2022 when I was on the strategic planning committee that Alex was on were completely unrealistic. I have been in the public finance business, and I knew that these were not realistic solutions. What we have implemented in the last year are realistic solutions that have made real progress. I appreciate Alex's gracious comment that I had treated Myla and Serene differently. I think that's absolutely right, and I will try to do better.
All right, then. So next up is the roll call vote. And just let me know who you're voting for as I call your name. Kaja Brown.
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry, quick question?
Quick question. Go ahead, Serene.
If I want neither.
If you want neither, just say not voting.
May I ask a quick question?
Was that Fred? Go ahead.
Yeah. I think I saw that plan that you put together, Alex, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it included selling all physical properties of the network and converting all paid staff to volunteer only. Is that correct or incorrect?
Alex, would you like to respond?
That's not correct. I never had any such plan. I don't know where you got that information from. I'm sorry.
I was told it was your plan. Thank you.
No.
All right. Unless there are further questions, let's proceed to the vote. Kaja Brown.
Susan.
Thank you, Kaja. Kaja says Susan. Donna Carter.
You need to state the two alternatives. You're not stating that.
Oh, the two alternatives. Okay, so instead of voting yes and no here, you're voting Alex or Susan. So that's the vote. So Donna Carter or as Serene noted, you can also decline to vote.
Decline to vote.
Okay. Not voting. Fred Dodsworth.
Susan, please.
Fred's a Susan. Jerome Edge?
Susan?
Jerome is Susan. Sally Gellert?
Alex?
Sally is Alex. Jan Goodman?
Susan.
Jan is Susan. Julie Hewitt, I'll pass. Avalia Jones?
Susan, please.
Avalia votes for Susan. Zach Caldvier?
Susan.
Zach votes for Susan. Phil Muldery?
Philip, Susan.
Thank you, Philip. I will get the hang of this. Philip votes for Susan. Marianne Martinez?
Susan.
Marianne votes for Susan. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes, Susan, please.
Sean votes for Susan. Ron Pinchback?
Non-voting.
Non-voting, Ron.
Non-voting.
Gotcha, non-voting. Myla Reason?
Susan, please.
Myla votes for Susan. Serene Roberts?
Pass.
Serene passes. James Sagerton?
Alex.
James votes for Alex. Minerva Sanders?
Sorry, Susan.
Minerva votes for Susan. Alex Steinberg?
Alex.
Alex votes for Alex. Dennis Williams?
Steinberg.
Dennis votes for Alex. Michael Woodson?
Susan.
Michael votes for Susan. Let me go back. Oh, actually, I can ask Susan because she's not the chair here. I can ask Susan if you would like to vote.
I vote for Susan.
Susan votes for Susan. Let me...
At two?
Yeah, I have to go through... I have a pass or two.
Madam Secretary, this is Pinchback. I'd like to change my vote.
Sure. Go ahead, Ron.
I'd like to change my vote to Steinberg.
I'm recording Ron as a vote for Alex. Okay. Donna said not recorder is not voting. Julie, you passed. How do you care to vote? Julie's going to abstain. Next up is Serene Roberts. You passed.
Alex, and please don't refer to yourself in the third person.
I'm sorry. I am sorry.
It's okay.
I don't think it's that awful, actually. And
makes
it's really hard to for both do this and be a member and take votes at the same time. I'm sorry, I don't have formulas set up, so I have to count by hand. Okay, the votes are 6 votes for Alex and 13 votes for Susan. So Susan is the chair pro tem.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And now we will take nominations for secretary pro tem. Are there nominations?
Madam Chair, this is Minerva. Sanders, I'd like to nominate Julie Hewitt, please.
Julie, do you accept? Julie,
I'm sorry, was that a question for me?
Yes, do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Are there other nominations for Secretary Pro Tem? Hearing none, if there's no objection, Julie Hewitt is elected Secretary Pro Tem by acclamation. All right, we will move ahead then. Minutes for approval for a January 16th meeting. And there are 13 of the directors are returning. If those who are new do not wish to vote on this, you may abstain. or you may vote on it. Is there any objection to approving the minutes for January 16th? Hearing none, they're approved.
Can you hear me?
I have to.
Now I can.
I do not want my vote recorded since I was not there and I cannot vote on this.
Excellent. So Alex, you'll be an abstention? Alex, would you prefer a non-voting?
No, put me down as abstaining.
That's great. Serene?
Okay, so I barely looked at it. I know it came out this afternoon. But was there a reflection of the motion from the KPFK minority, which I made? I don't recall seeing that, but I really only had a chance to skim it.
Julie's going to address that.
I am. One second. Okay, so I have to pull the minutes up now that they're open. That's not it. So I'm sorry, people. I have like 17 million files open. Here we go. I don't know that it was actually ever entered as a specific motion. It was, I think what we did was we, early in the agenda discussion, maybe it was minutes approval, it was somewhere. It was during the discussion of the draft agenda for the January 30th meeting that Serene moved to add the KPFK delegate report, and the chair ruled that the motion goes into new business and wasn't germane to the agenda item we were on. The ruling of the chair was appealed. There was a vote sustaining the ruling of the chair, and it was sustained. And so, the ruling of the chair was that the motion goes into new business. The motion is not reflected under new business, but it might be because I'm unclear what the motion was. So that's why I didn't add it in new business. So if you give me the motion, I'll add it. Or if there was a motion on the 16th, I'd be more than happy to add it.
Yeah, I sent it. So I would object to the current minutes. And I actually think I tried to raise that twice. So I will not be. One, I have an objection to the minutes as they are now. And I would suggest in the interest of time, we just table it and deal with it next week if that's okay.
List Serene as an objection to the minutes, list Alex as abstaining. Fred, you've got your hand up.
For all the new members joining us and for all the people who have been here for the last year, please recall that the minutes can be amended at any time in the future. This is a procedural matter. If you look over the minutes and you find something in error, you can bring it up at the next meeting. It's not a do or die motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Okay, moving on. Thanking 2024 PNB directors who are not returning. I would like to list them and say we had a lot of folks work very, very hard in a whole variety of capacities. Irene Adams with WPFW, Teresa Allen with KPFT, Paul DiRienzo with and Jim Dingman, both with WBAI, Vanessa Dixon Briggs with WPFW, Heather Gray representing affiliates, Darlene Pagano from KPFA, Sean Rhodes from WBAI, who served for many years, and Egberto Willis from KPFT. Are there any comments about our thanking them or recognizing them? So, Fred.
I want to really, really thank Darlene Pagano, who literally got us to finally, after 20 years, do the a proper evaluation of the executive director 2 years in a row, and who served on the finance committee. She was a wonderful addition. Also, she gave us great advice about human resources. She has human resource experience, and I really, really am going to miss her a lot, and I hope that we can find a place for her in our hearts and in our business and our work. I also want to say that I really am going to miss Igberto. He really adds a lot to our discussions. He is a huge influence in the world and represents us extremely well. Thank you to all the members who are no longer going to be serving on this board. And I look forward to working with the new members and establishing alliances and relationships that allow the entire network to prosper.
Thank you. Apologies. When we get to the end of this, I want to confirm that we approved the minutes with the recognition that there were two. One was that there was an abstention from Alex, and there was objection from Serene. Otherwise, the minutes are approved. Getting back to comments, Serene, then Ron, then Julie, then Minerva. Serene.
Oh, I want to thank all the folks who worked last year, those who never missed a meeting, and even those who barely made the meetings. Pacifica can take a lot out of a person, so please renew, refresh, return. But I also want to correct the record with regard to previous evaluations of national management. There have been proper evaluations, including the LSBs as the bylaws require, conducted by previous PNB personnel committees. And I hope those who have those records, because that's part of our problem, people sort of secrete the records, will in fact share them with others so we can do a much better job this year. Thanks.
Ron, then Julie, then Minerva. Ron.
Yes, I want to acknowledge the work and the service and sacrifice and dedication that our delegate, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, brought to the table on behalf of WPFW. Consistent, dedicated, came to the meetings, put up with all the nonsense, like we all do. But her work has been extraordinary, and she's going to be missed in her role. So I just want to acknowledge Vanessa Dixon Briggs for making this a working environment, not an adversarial one, but a working environment on behalf of WPFW. So on behalf of the PFW listeners, staff, and everybody, we say thank you, Vanessa. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for
us. Here, here.
And would you all take your hands down when you've spoken? Serene, would you take yours down? Ron, Julie next, and Minerva, then I'd like to add something.
I wanted to thank Heather Gray in part for her many, many, many years of service to Pacifica through the affiliates network. I know she served as chair at one point of the PNB, but she's been on the PNB a lot and has been a solid voice and has been long, associated with community radio. And so I really thank Heather for her many, many years of her years weren't longer than the rest of our year, but her many, many years of community radio service. And I also wanted to give a little shout out to Sean Rhodes, who I think Susan and I both appreciated having been chairs, because Sean was one of those people who could just jump in 2 seconds, let you know, That's not the item we're on the agenda. And so it's super helpful, and I'm hoping someone else will be willing to step up and fill Sean's big shoes. Thank you.
Minerva.
Hey, and good evening, everyone. I want to take this opportunity to thank Irene Adams Jefferson. There are two last names there. And Irene, because basically Irene and I came on the PNB last year as new directors. So we didn't have a clue as to what we were getting into, but she helped me research the information about the PNB, our roles, and also brought that information back to WPFW. We made it our business when we went back to the LSB meetings to bring forward any information that we received here, and we also gave input. We gave input for things that would work and help the entire network, not just WPFW. So she'll be missed, and especially by me, but I want to give her kudos for what she's done. And also, I forgot, she also was very helpful in being a timekeeper. She made that fun and just has a good heart and works hard, and she'll be missed. Thank you.
Hey, I have a few things. One, yes, Irene was a fabulous timekeeper, and it's no fun. Two, Sean absolutely always put his finger on the thing that was clear that we were missing, and he didn't run on about it. He just did it. Heather, I love that she brought in Africa and the breadth of affiliates. I'm looking forward to working with her on a continuing basis as we work more effectively and more extensively with the affiliates. And I would particularly like to thank Teresa Allen. Teresa Allen has been on this board for years. She's been on the LSB for years. She is absolutely tireless. She worked on governance. She headed personnel, in the last year. She is now, off the LSB. She termed out, and she is serving as the secretary for the KPFT LSB. Teresa is tireless. We're just so fortunate that she is a part of the Pacifica community. Next, Myla.
Well, first off, I would like to challenge the statement by the chair that timekeeping is not fun. Irene made it fun, and I raised my hand to acknowledge how cheerful and delightful Irene Adams was as our timekeeper for items during this last year. She was really fantastic, and her cheery demeanor will be missed.
Alex.
Yes, I wasn't intending to say anything in this part of the meeting, but I do want to acknowledge the incredible work that Heather Gray did. I feel a special kinship to Heather since I was the one who convinced her to return to the Pacifica National Board after she had been off for several years and probably was quite happy to have been retired from the board. But I knew that her intersection with community radio and the anti-apartheid movement and King family and the civil rights movement, I knew this would be a valuable addition to Pacifica. So I really I urged her to return, and by golly, she did, and she did a great job. And I also want to thank the people from WBI who are not returning, Paul DiRienzo, Sean Rhodes, and most especially Jim Dingman. Jim took on the thankless job of trying to create a strategic plan for Pacifica. After I left the board, he sort of took over that thing from me. And let me tell you, it was a thankless job, but he had tremendous energy, and I was always impressed by how much he was able to do.
Thank you all for recognizing the people who've worked so hard, and you know, we hope that they have a good night's sleep and come back in the future. All right, now the executive director's report. That's 20 minutes for report and Q&A. Stephanie Wells, please take it away.
Thank you. Everybody received, and you do prior to the meetings, an ED report that's confidential for the meeting. And then either during the same email or a day later or even later in the evening, you'll get an ED report that says can be shared with LSBs or committees. And the only main difference is some of the numbers and names, some of the financials that are not some of the details with the financials are not part of the can be shared report, as well as some of the names of the vendors with our aged payables. But please, by all means, that can be shared, just as it is, can easily be sent out to the LSBs and committees at your local station and with the, as you see fit, with the affiliates. So in the ED report, just sort of reading off of that from what was sent this afternoon, our known aged payables as of today are roughly $496,494. The aged payables are through across the network. It isn't necessarily just pinpointed to specific stations or just the national office, and any sort of details or small amount of details are listed in the notes next to that. Regarding our FJC loan, the total outstanding principal on that loan is at this point $1,945,201.40. We made a substantial payment to FCC, to FJC toward the principal when we sold the Los Angeles property. We had a payment to do, an interest payment due of $48,790 on December 31st. The invoices from FJC regarding those payments are attached to the confidential report, just so they have been attached for the PNB to review before, but some of the information that was attached on this ED report was attached once again for the new board members that have joined us for this year. There was an error that was on the FJC billing that we received first in November, so then they created another invoice that reflected the total amount that was due that was $48,000, so again, both of those invoices are attached. We have a good relationship with FJC and do speak with them on a regular basis. And after discussing the cost of what was due in December and in January, they agreed that we would be willing to make, that we could just make a half of a payment of that. We pay $25,000 toward that interest payment on January 16th, and that left us a balance of $23,790.94, which we will be making at the end of February. Also in the ED report kind of goes through the bank balances for each of the divisions and also the central service payments that have been received for that month or for the first 2 weeks when it's a meeting that's in the beginning of the month. So far this month we have received central service payments from the affiliate network, from KPFA, from KPFT, and from WPFW. So in comparison to where we were about a year ago, when we were just receiving payments from the affiliates and KPFT, I commend the stations that are really making an effort to get current on their central service payments. An update on our audit and taxes. We are the national office and Markeisha and some temporary staff that's been working to help her are working feverishly with the audit firm, finalizing the information that we need to get our fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23 990s completed. Our taxes will be filed prior to the deadline of February 15th. And then once the 990s have been processed, then the audit process will officially begin. Even though, again, this is something that was added to the ED report, is the engagement letter that we have with our audit firm. Many have seen that before, but I just wanted to make sure that it was attached for the people that were new. Once our taxes are filed, then we will be able to file our annual registration renewal form for the Pacifica with the California Attorney General's office. Right now, if you go to that site, it says delinquent, even though we have filed everything that we need to file But what we haven't done is file those 990s. So I have ongoing conversations with the State of California Attorney General's Office regarding this matter. So as soon as our taxes are filed, then they can check off with our annual registration renewal form, and that status will move from delinquent to active. And I know I do receive emails from people occasionally as to why it's listed as delinquent, and often from foundations, they will call me as well and ask why it's delinquent. But then when I explain to them why and send any financials that we have, we haven't had a problem with people and foundations continuing to donate money to us. One of the things that I'm sure some of you have seen already today, I know Arthur had sent it out as well after I'd sent out the ED report. That was very interesting. This is more of an FYI, but it's attached. Both of these documents are attached to the ED report and can be shared with your LSBs and with your committees. But yesterday, the new FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, had sent a letter out to NPR and PBS informing them that he has asked the FCC's Enforcement Bureau, with assistance from the FCC Media Bureau, to initiate an investigation into the underwriting announcements and related policies of NPR, PBS, and their broadcast stations. And specifically, Chairman Carr had indicated that he is concerned that NPR and PBS broadcasts could be violating federal law by airing commercials. In particular, it stated that it's possible that NPR and PBS member stations are broadcasting underwriting announcements that cross the line into prohibited commercial advertisements. It's an interesting letter to go ahead and read. And I'm happy that everybody at the stations and across the network are very in tune to this information, and we're reacting accordingly. One thing that we received when the letter was forwarded to us as well is a reference memo from our FCC attorney, Brad Deutsch of Foster Garvey. And it was just kind of a highlight on the FCC's underwriting requirements. The letter to NPR and PBS and the reference memo have all been shared with our station's general managers and program directors, and also with the affiliate directors. One of the things that we do have to realize is that we've been successfully adhering to the FCC consent decree that we are under, and we've been effectively managing all of our underwriting policy regulations for over 6 months. We have done a little over 1,000 FCC trainings for all of our programmers, and we continue to do one to two FCC trainings still per month for anybody new that's coming in, or if a programmer just wants an update and a refresher course. And if anybody has any immediate questions regarding an underwriting spot or sponsorship, we immediately have those conversations with our FCC, with John Amella, who's running and managing to make sure that we're in compliance, our compliance director. So it's, very good is that we are continuing to ensure that all of our underwriting announcements do comply with FCC requirements. But again, I know people are up to date on the news themselves, but as we get information, we'll go ahead and continue to forward that to everybody and also to our stations. Again, this is something that we talked about with the past board, and we want to make sure that we talk about it again with this board as well, is that as we enter 2025, we are committed to fostering a workplace environment that supports the staff and our volunteers' well-being, and we want to help people thrive both personally and professionally. So to further this goal, last year we partnered with a women-owned, minority-owned business that specializes in human resources, employee relations, and workforce development. We received donations and a grant to cover the cost of working with them. And the company is called Your Peace, Balance, and Harmony. And we are working with the founder of the company, Anya Lovest, who is a peer support specialist and mental health counselor. We've offered work-life balance workshops and workplace development trainings. We had one in December. We took some time off in January. And then our first training that's going to be for staff, programmers, and so these are all optional. We are highly encouraging them, though. But we're going to have our first staff training in February will be anti-bullying and creating a respectful workplace. And the selection of that topic was really from recommendations and suggestions from our staff and our volunteers. So again, trainings will be optional, but for staff, programmers, PNB, and LSB members. But we do again, encourage people to participate. Once those dates come out, we will let everybody know. We're going to have quite a few different trainings. We have anti-sexual harassment training, which is going on already. We've had some that our stations need to do every year. We've had some PMB members that have taken those trainings through work, and so they send us those certificates of completion. We're also going to be having diversity training, health and wellness training, or workshops, legal and workplace compliance, violence prevention, code of conduct, whistleblowing, HIPAA, speaking on behalf of the company, cybersecurity, parliamentary procedures, which is a recommendation from Marla at our last meeting, conflict resolution, ethical leadership. The list of those trainings are on the ED report as well. And again, additional topics will be introduced throughout the year. Once again, encouraged everyone to attend, and we'll be keeping track of the programmers and the staff members that are taking those trainings through a staff directory that is almost completed by our one and only Otis McClain. We are also going to be hosting biweekly voluntary workshops for staff covering a variety of subjects that are centered on work-life balance, personal growth, and professional development. And again, our goal is to create a positive and supportive work environment for everyone. An update on the Pacific Archives and Legacy Project. Again, a lot of this information has been repeated from last year, but I just wanted to make sure that our new members are up to date with what we are doing. We are collaborating with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting and WGBH Educational Foundation, their marketing teams, still working on the press release announcement and the marketing plan announcing the preservation of our highly significant collection. One of the things that we want to obviously highlight is that this milestone marks a culturally important step in making the collection accessible to educators, historians, and researchers. And it's not just the digitization and the audio files, but it's all of the transcripts that are being made as well of all of our pieces, which then is allowing a lot of our, of all of our materials to now be available to the hearing impaired. A basic statement about the status of the Pacifica Radio Archives, in case people are asked, is that the Pacifica Radio Archives Department has been restructured and is currently being managed by the Pacifica Foundation National Office. This includes licensing and material requests, as well as continuing to oversee the Pacifica Foundation Archive Legacy Project. The Pacifica Foundation Archive Legacy Project, again, in collaboration with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the WGBH Educational Foundation, the Library of Congress, and the Mellon Foundation, is the cataloging, digitization, transcription, curation, and storage of the historic 80,000-plus collection of the Pacifica Radio Archives. In addition to saving this priceless collection, the Pacifica Foundation will maintain the intellectual property and licensing rights of the collection and will continue to own the physical materials after collection. Just today, we had a meeting, but it's a continuation of a meeting with various IT specialists regarding updating the Pacifica Radio Archives website to accommodate the licensing and safely hosting the materials. The current archive website had not been updated, backed up, or maintained since 2020. I'm not real familiar with building of websites, but the language that the website is created in is not very conducive to being able to easily train someone to manage and update that. So we're looking to transfer that information to a more easily accessible, updated, and modern website. We do have a couple of donors that we've been talking to already to discuss the possibility of covering the costs associated with that. Also attached to the ED report are some of the images of the archive materials, how some of the storage facility and rooms looked when we got there and when we first started getting into the archives, how they've been cleaned up, images of what's been digitized and cataloged, and then as well as when this report was written, the 18,000 pieces that were prepared for shipment. One of the things that I can add though, already is even from when I wrote the report to this evening, we actually have 20,000 tapes and CDs that have been processed, inventoried, logged into the shipping manifest, and boxed for shipment to be digitized. The total number of boxes that are housing or holding those 20,000 is 783 boxes. And we've been covering the costs again with donations, the cost of a lot of those boxes, because it's not just generic shipping boxes that we're using, even though a lot of the tapes had been put in just generic cardboard boxes, but we are making sure that all the tapes are put in the correct archival type materials as they're, you know, as they're shipped and then also as they're stored. So we're poised to complete the cataloged tapes soon and should reach 22,000 tapes that were previously given as the archived and ready to be shipped. We did some of the tapes that had not been cataloged by going through the boxes and seeing what was there. We wanted to get the ones that had been that we were a little familiar with first, but once digging through the boxes, we did add tapes to that inventory that we felt were of high priority to be digitized first, and that included recordings of regarding the World Trade Center in New York, the People's Park in 1969, Watergate hearings, and the Iran-Contra hearings. So we added those to this first batch, and now we're moving into the uncataloged tape phase, which means giving each box an archive number, cataloging as much information that's needed to add to the AAPB minimal information spreadsheet, so we can use that for future funding. So we also want to thank, we had some issues, not issues, but with the fires that were happening in Los Angeles and the KPFK tower and the generator. We've been able to get the generator fixed. We're still working right now on getting some backup materials up there to make sure that we have something else again to fall back on in case we have issues. But I have to thank Stuart Landau, who is the chief engineer for KPFK, the interim general manager, Maggie LaPique, Terry Guy, who's the membership director at KPFK, Mo Thomas and John Amella, who have been working tirelessly to get the KPFK tower up and running, and an amazing group of volunteers, Tom Voorhees, Bert Weiner, Charlie Wilkins, and Ian Scott. It has not been an easy task for them to keep the tower running and the generator fixed with the snow and the smoke and the fire and all of that. So it's been quite a group effort, and I really can't thank them enough. Any questions?
Wonderful. And let me just note that Arthur Schwartz has joined us. Say hi, Arthur. Okay, questions for Stephanie. Shireen. And then Ron. Shireen.
Thanks. Stephanie, I think it would be really good if the LSBs and the PNB, well, most of the PNBs will, PNB members will be covered by the LSB coverage, but could be trained on the FCC requirements, the same thing that John did for the staff. I think we really need to make sure that we also have a full understanding of what it is we expect our staff to do or not do on the air. Can you arrange that?
I will talk to John and Brad about it. Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Ron, then Alex, then Minerva. Ron.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. Listen, one of the concerns I have is that, you know, the network is going to be attacked. It's going to be attacked for its political content. And they will use the back door of, compliance, to get at us. I bring up the political content because, you know, these times are going to get rough. People are going to be saying all kinds of rough things on air. These guys are thin-skinned, and we're in D.C. So any thoughts about, how do we mitigate that damage or that potential damage? And I would like to hear from Arthur on this, too, because, you know, of course we have the right to free speech, but we don't, okay? And these guys are not playing, you know, so I think it not only affect the PFW, but I'm sure it's going to affect the other stations as well at some point. You know, when you know, do we curtail what we say? Do we, soften our message? And of course nobody on this call is going to go for that. So your thoughts on that, Stephanie, and perhaps Martha also, how do we mitigate that damage or that potential damage?
So Stephanie first, then Arthur.
Well, we're not going to soften our message, that's for sure, because we are here to share the truth. We are here to share the news. And I think as long as we keep that in mind and we don't go out, and we've had some discussions already with our programmers. We've talked to Brad Deutsch, our attorney, about it, and we're putting together, we've already talked to the general managers and the program directors, but we're putting together a larger scale, not training, but booklet that people will be able to go through and ask questions. The biggest key is that we aren't defaming anybody, you know, so we can have our opinions, of course, because that's what we are as Pacifica, but we also are having disclaimers that we have even been added to the stations prior to all of this, basically stating that the opinions you hear may not be the, you know, the opinions set forth with Pacifica, but that kind of thing. And it's already written. It's been approved, and the general managers and the programmers have that. But as we're broadcasting the news and as we're sharing our stories, we do have to, again, do not defame. And that's something that we shouldn't be doing to anybody, regardless of who's running the government. News is news. Journalism is journalism. We're stating the facts. We're giving our opinions. We're telling a story, but we're not kind of running down a rabbit hole of conspiracy and defamation. And we just want to make sure that we're following the FCC, guidelines for broadcasting and what constitutes news, what constitutes opinion. But I don't want anyone and no one at the stations want us to have to pull back on what stories we tell and how we tell them. But we just want to make sure that, you know, we're following our mission. The FCC, again, is looking right now is with the letter, with underwriting and sponsorships and letters, and we're not doing any of that. We're following those FCC guidelines. So we, again, are going to roll out something that's dealing with defamation versus opinion and what constitutes news and what constitutes editorial. So as long as we follow those, we're not going to back down and censor in any way what we're saying, because that's not who we are. That's not Pacifica. And, you know, that would be making them win, and they're not going to win. We're going to continue to do what we're doing in a professional manner.
Arthur, do you have something to add?
Yeah, my advice is for everyone to go back, besides the stuff that we did training on, those people who do programs, which I had to go through it as a programmer myself. Go back over that material. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if it was made available, Stephanie, for people to review. and to, you know, I think one of the things that FCC could go after us on if they decide we're a target. I mean, we're smaller than NPR and PBS, but we have to be really careful about endorsements of candidates and calls to action around elections, because that's a big zinger. And when we have people on the air who are candidates, like I know I'm I'm doing a series where I'm having people who are running for mayor on my radio show in New York. I'm trying to get every single one of them, even though some of them I can't stand. and make sure that if you say anything supportive of a candidate, make sure you make it clear. We have to make sure our staff makes it clear, or negative about a candidate, that it's coupled with, if it's really necessary, which it isn't always necessary. This is my opinion and not the opinion of, in fact, we might want to add a intro to every show that talks about politics with a little, the views being expressed on the show are those of the programmer and not of the, station. So that, to me, is a really key thing that we have to be concerned about, because that stuff is the stuff that Trump himself is very, you know, I know the FCC letter to the PBS and NPR had to do with commercial, but political is not far behind. And those two, they tend not to be as acerbic and opinionated as we are. And look at how Trump sued, you know, over for defamation over, someone saying he had been convicted of rape. And ABC paid out like $11 million to settle that case. Or he sued NBC for $100 billion for editing Kamala Harris's interview, which he said made it seem better. And NBC is going to kick in a bunch of money to some Trump chosen cause in order to settle that case. So we have to be really careful. To me, that's like, we really might even want to have a little committee to work on ways that we can advise our folks and ways that we can insulate our stations, which are so political. And we all talk about, I'm sure that we denounce Trump on our network 42 times a day, about how we do it and what's the way to do it that
Nina.
Sorry. So, Arthur, is that, I think, I apologize, we heard a noise come from Alex.
Yes.
I know it was. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, that was not intentional.
Just got it.
I just want to thank Stephanie and Arthur for responding. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Alex? And then Minerva, and then Philip.
First of all, I just want to say that I'm glad to hear that we've made some very significant progress as far as the Pacifica archives are concerned. That is really good news. So on the other matters that we're discussing, I think actually, how we are going to shield ourselves or defend ourselves from what's going to be coming down, I think part of that discussion should take place in executive session, because there are some very nasty people who are gunning for Pacifica. And, you never know who's going to be listening to these meetings, and the recordings are available. And I don't think we want to give them extra information and tip them off and make their job easier. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, Stephanie, is why have we not received, profit and loss statements, more recently than covering the end of June? I know that, for WBAI, we really are pretty clueless as to the finances of the station. We really don't know what's going on, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to get that item on the agenda, and the WBI LSB passed the motion urging the PNB to do that. So can you give me a reason why we're waiting so long to get P&L statements?
Well, with each of the stations, they have not had business managers. So what we've done, and Markeisha has been serving as a business manager for each of the stations except KPFA, who has a business manager. In a bigger picture too, there was a lot of cleanup that needed to happen, after NEDA. NEDA did a great job, but they didn't use Great Plains as the accounting software. They input, for example, when revenue, they would input the revenue into their system and then do one central input of revenue as revenue and then one solid dollar amount, and it wasn't broken down. So the reports that we were getting from NEDA, they were great and they were accurate and they were very helpful, but it was based upon their software accounting system and not ours. We're in the process of trying to get an easier accounting system that is less easier to understand, talks better with what, you know, that is less complicated for the stations to use so we can get more accurate record keeping. It's been very overwhelming for Markeisha to have to put everything together. There's also been a lot of cleanup with stations. Last year we had the stations move to one centralized bank. Each station has their own account. So it's not like all the money is intermingled. It is not. But we hadn't had access to those bank statements. Particularly at WBAI, there's a lot of unraveling of different bank accounts that we were not aware of. Different PO boxes that we weren't aware of where donations were being sent. And then we weren't aware that those donations were even coming in until now. We've been getting some letters from donors asking where their tax letter is, but that donation had never been received because it was being sent to a PO box that no one was even aware of and putting in a bank account that we didn't have record of because we didn't have access to it. So there's been a lot of unraveling and putting together of where money has gone and how it was reported. And that a lot was because all of the stations were working in their own little silos with banking. So are the numbers as timely as they should be? No. I don't like not being able to see that either. But all the stations and the general managers and the program directors and the finance committees, general managers all have access to the bank accounts at any given moment. They can log in. Markeisha and I can log in. The bank statements are sent out to the stations immediately if the general managers or if they have a business manager, if they don't send it out right away, we send out the bank statements so the stations and the finance committees and the LSBs can take a look at the raw bank statements anytime they want. So we have gotten some temporary or part-time help that we're assigning two people to work as business managers for two stations apiece. So I know that with WBAI, somebody is working with Chris there on a regular basis. We're still trying to sort out, you know, access to a PayPal account that nobody could get access to. We've just sorted that out. So it's still just a lot of sort of cleaning up and putting things together. But we're getting there. Is it as timely as I want it to be? No. But it's been a long process of trying to unravel a lot of things that the national office just never had access to. And that is not picking on WBAI, but that happened across the board with a lot of the stations. So we're trying to get better.
Minerva, then Philip, and we need to bring this portion to a close so we can hear from each other. We have to get to a couple of critical items. One, we have to launch the election of officers, that's chair, vice chair, and secretary, and we need to set the next meeting date. Minerva, then Philip.
All right. Excuse me. Stephanie, thank you for the information you shared in your ED report, and you kind of answered a question that I had in terms of the FCC training that the staff and programmers received. We at WPFW are planning to look at our grid, and we want to have that information so we'll be able to see, you know, what our programmers are doing. Are we following FCC guidelines? And I did put in a request for that training. And this is for our programming committee and anyone else that wants to take part. And I was told that Mr. Amello would not be able to do the training for us at this time. So how would we go about, or would we put that request to you to ask him if he will give us that training? Because we do need it if we're going to look at what our station is doing and help ensure that our listeners are, number one, getting the programs that they want to hear, and the other part is making sure that we're aligned with what we're being asked to do by the FCC. So that's a question. And then thank you for the heads up on what's taking place with the archives. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll talk to John. I just had a meeting today with Miyuki and Katia, and Katia is very on top of the trainings. I know we're doing another training tomorrow for a group of people. So I will talk with John about trying to put together a training that's just for the LSBs. Maybe we can just do one group at a time for each station.
All right, Alex, would you be kind to put your hand down? And Philip.
So I actually have gone through the training, and I think it's very valuable. And I learned a lot about essentially not being commercial, not selling a product, not selling a premium, not selling a thank you gift, and in fact, selling the station. And I'll be brief. Quite frankly, I think the fact that we had a whistleblower that said that what was happening in some of the stations in the past was not okay is going to insulate us from the Trumpists who are now going after NPR and PBS for being blatant commercial shills for greenwashing corporations. And well, who knows what they're not going to go after that because they're the Trump people. But oh, happy day, wouldn't they go after them for their infomercials? But I think that I'm very proud of Pacifica that we got ahead of the curve on this particular kerfluffle. And I hope it protects us, but who knows?
Thank you, Philip. Okay, next agenda item is director introductions. And I'm going to ask everybody, I know we all have lots of important things to say about ourselves, but let's try to make it pithy. And may I ask Philip, please, to put your hand down, okay? Thank you. Okay, and I'm going to start sort of inside out. I'm going to start with Sean Kelly McPherson. Sean, what do you have to say for yourself? Well, I think at the moment he may be out playing his guitar. Let me go to the next one. Ron, Pinchback, please.
How much time do I give everybody?
Because we've got tight time. Let's give everybody 90 seconds.
Fine.
All right, 90 seconds?
Yep.
Live my life in 90 seconds. Listen, I've been around PFW, you know, for an extremely long time. It's always been a labor of love. Came in with some great people. Got some great people in there now. There's a lot of history, to PFW. And, I started out, you know, doing a 3-minute calendar as a volunteer. And, you know, progressed to become the program director, general manager, and of course I've had served my terms on the local station boards and stuff. And it's a, like I say, it's a labor of love, but it's also the labor of necessity. You know, all of these stations are, you know, in danger in some shape or form or fashion. So, you know, having people, you know, dedicated to run the course, you know, to help protect those stations, you know, from the environments that are out there is very, very important. It's definitely very, very important to PFW. So I just wanted to be, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve in that capacity. And, it's been very, very rewarding. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Great. Myla Reason. Myla, you're muted.
Please come back to me later.
Serene Roberts.
Give me for now.
Yeah, do you want to speak now or do you want to wait? Okay.
Give me for now.
Huh? Go ahead, Serene. 90 seconds to introduce yourself. This is a round table for us.
Skip me for now, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't understand what you said. Thank you. Jim Sagerton.
Okay, I'll take the plunge. My name is James Sagerton. I'm a 50-year-plus listener to WBAI in New York. Got involved about 10 years ago as a volunteer. Moved over into governance because at WBAI we had a very open committee system. I joined the finance committee almost immediately upon becoming a volunteer. And have then proceeded to do almost anything and everything involved in governance, up to serving as the chair of the finance committee for a few years, most recently. Returning after a year off the board, as a director from WBAI, a listener director. In my personal life, I have a law degree from Rutgers, law school in, Newark, New Jersey. I used my law degree not to practice law, but to teach English at Essex County College in Newark, New Jersey, which is something that I loved and found was compatible with my other mission in life, which was to care for my father, who was blind and mostly deaf for the last 30 years of his life, and been an activist in several realms, most notably sending material aid to Nicaragua. I'm sorry, was that time?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's just enough for now.
Okay, great. Minerva Sanders.
All right. I'm sorry. I joined I became a member of WPFW in 1986. So I began listening to the Saturday shows and then moved from there to say, if it sounds as good on the weekend, let's see what's being done during the week. And that's where I began to listen to the other shows. In 2021, I stepped forward to put my name in to become a member of the LSB. And I have worked on the LSB since I've been there. I brought forward questions about things that I didn't see and have other individuals who have come forward and worked with me to work for the good of the station. Last year, I was elected to the PMV. And I'm very excited to be here because I feel like the PMB is we're under that umbrella. And we as members of the network need to work with the other stations and the affiliates and make sure that we can be a viable force in the 21st century. And I feel like we're headed in that direction. We're making changes and I want to be a part of the group that's helping to make those changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. Alex Steinberg.
You've already heard a little bit from me, so I won't go into that too much more. I'm a listener representative of WBAI. I've been on and off LSBs and PNBs for the last 20 years. I've probably been on the PNB about half of those years here and there. And outside of that, I am a politically committed person. I won't go into details here. And I'm also a teacher. I teach philosophy through an independent institution, not affiliated to any university, so I don't have to deal with all the politics that goes on in academia. And that's basically what I've been doing since I retired. My partner and I go to Greece every summer, and we spend 2 or 3 months there every year. So if I'm still on the board this summer, you'll be hearing from me at some weird hour in the morning during PNB meetings.
Wonderful. Okay. Harvey Wasserman is not with us this evening. Dennis Williams.
Good evening, everyone. Excuse me, I'm also getting over a cold. My name is Dennis Williams. I am in my the last year of my second term as a listener delegate to WPFW. I've served on several committees and was fortunate to serve 2.5 years as chair of the LSB. I joined and began listening to the station in 1997 when I moved to the DC area. I fell in love with the station. You know, I was in New York when Frankie Crocker invented WBLS, and I didn't think radio could get any better than that, and I was wrong. Personally, I am a retired higher education DEI administrator, and I am still a part-time adjunct English professor. I am a long ago journalist and sometime writer. I love music. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jazz and Justice.
That's right.
Michael Woodson.
Hi. Let's see if I can get my video to work. How are you? Yes, I'm in Houston, and I've been in governance and so on between 2000 and 2000 and I guess 6 or something. So it was 2002 to 2008, I think, and that was the take back years. That's I think what we call it. And I was on the PNB for 1 year, and all of that's a long story that doesn't really need to be told. I do a show, the morning show here in Houston called Conversations. It's a call-in show. And then that's been for 6 months. And I have been doing the art show since 2002 on Wednesday. I know a little bit about the formation of the bylaws and such because I was at meetings, when we had the LSB. My first visit to, KPFT was in 1977 when I was hanging out with a guy who had an afternoon show that I went to college with. I live in Houston. Spent a lot of my times working at a college teaching composition 1 and 2 at Lee College, Community College, and doing radio and just appreciating Pacifica.
Thank you, Michael. And wrapping up, I'm the next one on the list. And I'm Susan Young. I'm from Houston. I'm surprised as all get out that I still live in Houston. I grew up in California. I went to school in the East. I moved here from Chicago. But Houston's been a real surprise to me. There are wonderful people here. And I got very involved in activist matters. And KPFT is one of the reasons why I stayed. You know, we were bombed twice by the KKK. And we have amazing music, and we had, you know, queer voices and tech bites and Coming to America and all sorts of things. I got heavily involved right about the same time that the new bylaws were in place. I got involved in a Cities for Peace initiative to try to work against going to war with Iraq. And I was very heavily involved with that. With the city council, we tried to adopt a Cities for Peace initiative. I heard the real information I needed to hear on KPFT. I got on the initial board, was on for 6 years. I went off and was involved in a lot of activist stuff, many nonprofits that I've worked with and for. I was on the ACLU of Texas board for 10 years. I am now grateful to be retired from a career that's included government, public finance, nonprofit management, and I developed a lot of, thank you. That's what I have to say. Thank you. Next up, Marianne Martinez.
Yes, thank you. And I also am from Houston and at KPFT. I've been with, associated with the radio station since, about the same time as Michael and, Susan, early 2000s during the Take Back movement, and, had worked with the, interim local advisory board. And then, after that, I was with the community advisory board for a few years. And now I'm on the, LSB, and, here to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. Philip Muldery.
Well, I'm not sure why you're calling on me. I'm not running for any election or any position or anything like that.
We're all getting to know each other just a little bit.
Oh, well, I am an old coot that came to KPFA as a young coot in 1973. And so it really has been 52 years. And I actually came out as a gay man at KPFA in 1973. And so I really credit KPFA for having an organization, actually a program called Fruit Punch, that I joined as I came out of the closet. And I really did not know that gay men could be revolutionary activists as opposed to being like Liberace or something. I was not Liberace. That was not me. So consequently, I have many things to thank Pacifica for. And it, I have been on the paid and unpaid staff at various times in the last 53 years. I continue to do a program now as a retiree, every Sunday morning, from 9 to 11 a.m., the Sunday show. And, now I'm actually back on the national board. I was first on the national board, in, 79 to 81. So what, we're talking about a long time.
90 seconds.
We were talking about all kinds of different nasty things back then. So, I'm returning. Take care.
Well, welcome. Welcome back. Next one, Zach Caldfear.
So I started at KPFA LSB, I guess about 3.5 years ago. I've been on the PNB for a couple years. I got involved in this because I think independent radio is one of the cornerstones, of a democracy. And it's been on life support for a number of years now. I think despite growing audiences for publicly funded stations and progressive podcasts and online news, Pacifica still remains in serious danger. I think working at KPFA, I've seen some real positive things that I think the network can model itself after. One being that it's the only station with a full news department. I love every station to have that. Also, we have been able to block any kind of corporate infiltration of our airwaves. I think it's very difficult to criticize the corporate state while relying on it for funds. And I think that goes to some of the commercial type of underwriting we've talked about earlier here. So I hope to help Pacifica embrace that original mission, which is to report on and analyze the political and cultural challenges facing this country. I want to help bring financial sustainability to the network, which we've done in the last couple of years here, especially through expanding investigative news. And I think we've been doing that on this board the last few years. I have more hope now than I did when I started serving on this board based on what we've done the last couple of years. Thanks.
Avalia Jones.
Hello. Well, I'm more than that little gray dot that I represent myself as at every meeting. I'm also Afro-Cuban. I'm also a senior with disabilities. I'm also a person who's worked in radio for about 10 years in my life, but commercial radio, traffic, I know very well. I also have been a news announcer. I also have had a program. What else can I tell you about myself? I got involved with KPFK because I met someone who is very, very important in our Los Angeles group, Jan Goodman. I'll call her name. And I met her at an art gallery. And she spoke so highly of your station and all the things that you were trying to do at Pacifica that I said, hey, that sounds like it would be perfect. And then there was COVID. So let me just close there and say it's been a long, hard ride, but I'm glad I held on because so much great, so many great things are to come. I can see it. I can smell it. I'm also a civil rights kid from Jackson, Mississippi by birth. Hey, all right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Julie Hewitt.
Hi, everyone. Julie Hewitt. I am from the WPFW community. I've been listening to, I've lived in D.C. for 25 years now. It's the fourth time I've moved to Washington, D.C., but this time for 25 years it seems to have stuck. I listen to WPFW, you know, because I really believe in the jazz and justice mission and motto, right? I love jazz music. I would have listened to it anyway, you know, but I really enjoy a lot of the public affairs programming, and also a lot of the music programming really has a sort of social edge to it as well. You know, it's not just music to make you feel good. It's music with a message. And so I really, really enjoy that. The other thing I really enjoy is that it's real people who are the programmers on air, which is just not what you get on other radio stations, whether it's commercial or in sometimes, you know, even NPR type stations programs. So I really, really enjoy it. I became a activist with PFW, you know, when we had a kerfuffle in 2012 timeframe with a GM who came in and took a whole bunch of programmers off the air, and I've been seconds. Yeah, I know, and I've been involved in governance since I think it's 2016. And let me just quick say, I work for the federal government. I'm an economist by training, and I lived in the Bay Area for a little while. Thanks.
Okay, next one up, Jan Goodman. We've already heard about how wonderful you are. unmute. There you go.
I'll take it from wherever I get it. So, I started out as a child listening to KPFK from probably about 1959 or 1960 in the backseat of my parents' car. So KPFK has been the soundtrack of my life, growing up in, South Central LA, aka Watts. And I've been, an activist my entire life. Came from an activist family, so involved in civil rights and anti-apartheid and peace and justice and et cetera. So, and I became involved in governance around 2001, 2002. And I'm in Pacifica for the long haul because I believe that it, including its affiliates, needs to be the purvey real news to the country. And with all of our five stations and our affiliates, we have the capacity to be the real news network for the whole country. And that's why I'm here. That's why I stick around. And sometimes we, you know, are doing great. Sometimes we're not, but that's why I'm here. Thanks.
Sally Geller.
Oh, and I'm a lawyer in my off hours. I'm a retiring lawyer.
Not okay. Shy. Sally Gellert.
Yeah, hi.
Lifelong New Jersey resident, co-producer and co-host of Ecologic on WBAI Wednesday mornings, about 3 years. I've been a sporadic listener since high school back in the early 70s. Co-chairperson of Unitarian Universalists for Just Economic Community and chairperson of the Lackawanna Coalition, which is a New Jersey Transit Rail Riders advocacy group. Former chairperson of New Jersey Transit Senior Citizens and Disabled Residents Transportation Advisory Committee. I manage or co-manage a bunch of WordPress sites for such groups as UUJEC, Northern New Jersey JVP, Indivisible, New Jersey 5, the Coalition, Democracy Watch News. I'm a member of Radical Elders, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Wow. Jerome Edge.
Hey there. So 90 seconds?
Yes. Yep. Take it away.
All right. Well, first off, I just want to say thank you to everybody for being so welcoming. As this is my first time joining the board. And just a little bit about me. I am from Mount Vernon, Washington, from a radio station by the name of KSVR 91.7 FM. Radio Mount Vernon, which I've been, on air for going on about the last, 20 years or so. It's been, it's been a really beautiful community broadcast journey that's seen me, work with organizations ranging from AMARC, the World Federation of Community Broadcasters, to being the co-head of an organization known as the Ghana Radio Coalition. I'm a local hip hop DJ, and just this community radio has just really been a place that I found where I've been able to really just help lead the vanguard for that type of activism and minority community, that, I've always loved to be a part of. Thank you.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth.
Hi, this is my third year on the PNB and my fourth year, as a member of the LSB. I spent my life as a journalist. I've been, responsible for getting police chiefs fired, city councils recalled. I've had death threats, so many I can't even count them. I grew up in Arizona, so I don't intimidate too well. I've had my office spray painted with white pride, white bitch. I've, what else have I had? I've been threatened with death by cops, by thugs, by right-wingers and left-wingers, and I don't pay any attention to any of that. I'm here as a journalist. I've spent my life as a journalist. I am proud of what I do, and I would like to see every station in the network have a news station that is as strong as KPFA's or better, and I'd like to see the entire network have a Pacifica-specific broadcast, because we are in dangerous times, guys and gals. And we are the voice of the resistance. We are the people who will make a difference. We are not going to be sitting back and waiting for the Gestapo to show up at our doorstep. I am armed and I am dangerous. Thank you.
Sounds like a Texan. Donna Carter.
Hello, I'm Donna Carter. I'm a Bay Area native and grew up in an activist family, so I've been involved in many, many causes, peace, all kinds of stuff. But my primary role was helping develop the National Nurses United, which started out as the California Nurses Association. And we got the first nurses organized, and the nurses have been doing wonderfully, and the association has, you know, is now all over the country. Women who got better jobs and benefits and quality of life. Let's see. I'm a peace activist, yeah. I have listened to KPFA for, you know, since early 60s. I was concerned as time went on in the last few years about conflict in KPFA. This was a really disturbing for me. I was there when The streets were filled with KPFA listeners who didn't want to lose their station, and I got more and more interested. So when I had some time recently after being retired, I became interested in joining the LSB, and I was elected to that.
But 90 seconds.
2 or 3 years, and now this is my second year on the PNB.
Thank you. Thank you. Kaja.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kaja. I'm currently based in Phoenix. I'm the GM at community station KRDP. I've been in Phoenix about 20 years, but I've lived all over the country, primarily grew up in New Jersey. So hearing the city of Newark makes me smile, sort of. And I basically am in community radio because I feel like it is the one medium that has the greatest impact on our communities. We are able to do things with community radio that you can't do with PBS or commercial radio or even the printed word. So, and that's about all I can give you because my voice is going and it's getting late.
Sounds good. Sounds good anyway. Okay, back to Serene, then Mila, then Mac. Serene.
So my name is Serene. I am with WBAI. I have been hanging around BAI for more years than I will publicly state for a long time. I have visited all the Pacifica stations. I have the t-shirts to prove it. I listen to a number of our stations on particular programs on a regular basis. I appreciate the work that our unpaid staff, whom I do not classify as, quote, volunteers, do. Someone who shows up every week for 20 years is more than a volunteer. They are unpaid staff, and they should be respected, and there should be rights that are observed by station management. That said, being management at Pacifica is not an enviable position. I certainly would never do it. I'm concerned about the direction of the PNB in particular, but also, of course, some of the LSBs where there is extreme partisanship and discrimination and targeting and levels of secrecy. All delegates are equal. All directors are equal. We don't have a co-director in the form of a board chair, nor should we. Information should flow freely and completely and timely through the national board because we're all equally responsible. So I am concerned about some of the motions that have passed
90 seconds.
Last year's LSB. Thanks. That have passed last year's LSB that actually attempt to steal rights from listeners. I hope we don't have to end up suing each other because we have a lot That's more three. To do. Thanks.
Yeah. Mila?
Howdy, everybody. I'm Mila Reason. I am currently the co-host and co-producer of, with Harvey Wasserman, who's MIA tonight, of California Solartopia. We're thinking of changing the name of our show to Getting to Solartopia. We focus on shutting down dangerous nuclear power plants and working to have 100% sustainable green energy. I am a lifelong activist. I think Jan Goodman may have started listening to KPFK 1 year before me, but I'm 77. I started listening to KPFK when I was still in high school in 1964, I believe. And I often said that I was educated at the University of Pacifica Radio. I really owe a lot to Pacifica Radio. I've learned so much from so many extraordinary voices over the years. And I love radio. I love Pacifica and I love all the stations. I have listened to all of the stations. I was one of the 700, listeners who joined together in the listener lawsuit to wrest the to change the bylaws and to embark in this extraordinary experiment in media democracy.
90 seconds,
and I'm done.
Sean Kelly McPherson, otherwise known as Mac.
Well, that's right.
Sean Kelly McPherson is my government name. That's me on paper. My friends call me Mac. I've told this story before often enough. This may be the last time I offer it. I was 12 years old. My dad came home from work and said that the radio station that I had never heard of up the street from his office in downtown Houston had been bombed. A couple of days later, we learned it was the KKK. And I said to myself, any radio worth bombing by the KKK has got to be worth listening to. And I have ever since. I've been a supporter all these years, beginning in high school. I got involved with the LSB a few years ago when the chaos at Pacifica began manifesting itself on the Houston airwaves. And here I am. I fell in with a bad crowd. Haven't been able to extricate myself.
Okay. That's enough. So all of us have had the chance to speak except for Harvey. Maybe we'll hear from him next time. Agenda item number eight is motion on procedure for election of officers, which is one of two pieces of business we need to accomplish.
Susan, could I just say something? So there's a lot of new faces here. Nobody knows who I am.
Oh, okay, Arthur. Sorry for ignoring you. You're not a PNB person, so I thought, hey, everybody knows Arthur Schwartz.
And it's great to see a lot of new people here. Just my quick bio. I've been a lawyer for 46 years. I live in New York City. Active in the anti-war movement in the 60s. Got out of law school, became a union democracy lawyer, represented lots of opposition groups and unions, and then some of them started winning, and I became general counsel of a number of large unions in New York City. I quit for a while and became the general counsel of a group called ACORN, which some of you may have known, until the Republicans destroyed, or Breitbart destroyed it. I was elected Democratic district leader in Greenwich Village in New York City in 1995 and served for 30 years or so far. I was Bernie Sanders' lawyer in New York in 2016. And that year later, I got a show on WBAI, which I have produced once a week since 2017. In 2019, I was told one night that we were off the air, and I went to court that night and got a restraining order to get WBAI back on the air, which we were successful in doing. And I then became general counsel of Pacifica in December 2019. And most recent, I continue to work for my biggest client is the Transport Workers Union of America. I also recently became the general counsel of a group called the Center for the Independence of the Disabled in New York, which is a $11.5 million foundation, which services 40,000 disabled people a year. And I am counsel to the Amazon Labor Union. So, but one of my first loves is still Pacifica and my show on WBAI.
We have a lot to do, but we haven't. Stephanie, would you like to say a few words about you? And then we'd also like to hear from Aki. Stephanie.
Sure. I've been with Pacifica. It will be 3 years, I believe, in February. And my background is I graduated in broadcast journalism and political science and started working in the news department at ABC and then moved to Washington, D.C. and worked for WJLA there. And then came back to Los Angeles and worked for, as a producer and a writer is all the jobs that I've had for Jim Henson and the Muppet Babies, PBS on a show called Actors on Acting, and then, did a little over 10 years as a producer for the Playboy Channel. And while I was at the Playboy Channel, I was let go after having a baby and also for whistleblowing sexual harassment issues that were happening at the company. So that turned into a federal court case of sexual harassment, sexual discrimination, misrepresentation to third parties. And it was a 2.5-year court case, and I won. But then I was basically blackballed within the entertainment industry. So I wrote a book about the whole process. And at that time, I was, my children were learning how to swim at the YMCA and they needed a new pool house. And so the Y said, well, you're a writer. Do you think you could write a grant for us? And I said, sure. So fluke of all flukes, they got the funding. And then I started another 10 years as a financial development specialist for the YMCA. And then from there, I moved, I remained in the nonprofit world and became a development director and executive directors for the Foundation Fighting Blindness, which was raising money for clinical trials for people with retinal degenerative diseases, and then also worked for the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and then also in a private-public partnership with the City of Los Angeles Department of Recreation and Parks and Expo Center, which was doing youth and senior programs and swim programs with an exposition park in California, Los Angeles. And then also for Michelson Philanthropies, where we worked in the Found Animal Division, where we were providing, I was kind of an in-kind gift, where I was given to a lot of nonprofits to help them whatever their needs were be, and that was board development, social media, marketing, grant writing, budgeting. And then from there, I was asked to come and work for Pacifica, and I thought it was a nice mixture of going back to my roots of broadcast journalism and political science and also nonprofit. So I have been here ever since, and it's been interesting.
Akio Tanaka, would you like to say hello?
Sure. I specifically just met with Mac when KPFT was bombed. I was going to school at that. I can volunteer to be the secretary. That's all.
Thank you. Aki, by the way, is one of the most important volunteers.
Aki, I can't hear you. I didn't hear anything you said. You have to speak louder.
Okay, Aki, you want to come back and talk louder?
Sure. I got introduced to Pacifica just like Mac when the KPFT was bombed. And I'm retired now, so I can volunteer to be the secretary.
We're extremely grateful. Okay.
No, but you mentioned that he's the recording secretary, or did you say it earlier in the meeting?
We said it earlier. I said, thank you. We're grateful that Aki has agreed to be the recording secretary gratis pro bono, which is a phenomenal value. So without objection, we say thank you very much. Next item up is a motion on procedure for election of officers. Electing the officers is something that we need to do tonight, set up the ballot. And the motion is, whereas Article 9, Section 2 of the Pacifica bylaws, and this is in the appendix, bylaws specifies that the board's chair, vice chair, and secretary shall be elected by the board at its annual meeting in January each year using the instant runoff voting method. And whereas for in-person meetings, Pacifica's parliamentary authority specifies that the chair appoints tellers to distribute, collect, and count the ballots and to report the vote. And whereas since the suspension of annual in-person meetings, the PNB has been conducting its officer elections via electronic mail. And whereas the Pacifica's parliamentary authority specifies that a ballot may be taken by electronic means, allowing directors to indicate their choices without revealing how they have voted, be it resolved that the election of PNB officers shall be conducted by the recording secretary using OpaVote to support secret ballots with nominations to open during the January 30th, 2025 meeting. And once the meeting adjourns, any additional nominations must be made in writing to the recording secretary by 11:59 p.m. Pacific time on February 2, 2025. Further resolved that all currently serving directors are authorized to vote and will be sent a ballot via email from OPAVOTE, no reply at opavote.com, on or after February 4th, 2025, and that the polls shall close on February 9th, 2025 at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. If quorum is not met, the close of polls, by the close of polls, the recording secretary is authorized to keep the polls open and declare a new deadline. The final results should be ratified by vote of the PNB. The recording secretary will distribute election results to all voters soon after the close of voting. In the unlikely event of a tied election, it is to be resolved and the final results declared by the chair pro tem at the next meeting of the PNB after the preliminary tally distribution. A director with good bandwidth can share a screen and flip coins via https://random.org/coins/. Is there a second for that motion?
So moved.
Who was that? Who Fred. Seconded? Fred, you seconded that motion. Is there discussion? Myla.
A headless Myla, it appears. I just wanted to say that our fearless Harvey Wasserman has joined our call.
Oh, wonderful. Harvey, do you want to say hello?
Muted.
Okay.
So, Harvey appears to have muted himself.
So maybe he'll come back and be acknowledged by the secretary. Serene.
There's language in there with regard to the results being returned to all voters. It should say to all eligible voters. If you just leave the language with voters, you run the risk that someone who doesn't vote doesn't get the results. So we should have better language there.
Is there any objection to adding eligible to eligible voters? Hearing none, the motion is amended. Is there any objection to the motion? Sorry,
I'm done.
Okay.
And I also object to the use of OPAVOTE. OPAVOTE does not allow for write-ins. And that is a principle we've always observed on the PNB, except for a fluke last December. And I would like us to use a human teller, because that is the only system I know of that allows us to use write-in.
Myla.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to write-ins. It turns out, and I wasn't aware of it before, but it was pointed out to me, that there is a section in the bylaws having to do with methods of voting that clearly states that all of the candidates must be listed on the ballot. And if you have all candidates listed on the ballots, then write-ins are in contradiction to that portion of the bylaws. I can look it up, but I don't have it in front of me. I've just read it.
May I respond?
I believe that to be true.
May I respond?
Yes.
So there's actually a way that you can write in on the ballot. And should there be a majority of people, because these are IRV, which are essentially, majority votes, should write-in get the most number of votes, then you would need to have a second election with the names of the people who the voters desire to write in. And that is a more time-consuming process than just using a human teller, which allows us to simply write it in. So, and we've actually had this discussion over the years with Terry Goodman.
And OPAVOTE has been used at a number of times. It's been used at Pacifica, has been used at WBAI, WPFW, and recently KPFK. Julie, you've got your hand up.
And Serene can lower her hand.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to point out is that the motion has, anticipates us opening nominations this evening during the meeting. but not closing nominations. So nominations close, let me look again, February 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, made in writing to the recording secretary. So that's Sunday. So that gives people, you know, three entire more days to nominate people. And then the ballots go out 2 days after that. And the point of that little delay is to make sure that everybody who's nominated is in fact willing to serve, right? Because there's no point in having people on the ballot who's not willing to serve. And I think one of the things that people need to understand is, generally speaking, being an officer is a lot of work and at times a pain in the rumpus. And so you want to make sure that people vote. And one of the problems with write-in campaigns is that, yeah, you might elect someone, but what if they really, are more flattered by the, attention than willing to serve? And then, you know, you get, so that's where, you know, and we still have plenty of time to vote because the voting doesn't close to February 9th. If people don't like those time frames, if you want more time to nominate people, then move to amend. A simpler way is to move to amend to say change
seconds.
February 2nd to another time.
Jan. You're muted.
So to have the names on the ballot, if the bylaws say that the name should be on the ballot, although Serene's idea sounds like it's close, but it still is not putting the names on the ballot. And it seems to me that what Julie just explained about giving more time, so we have 3 days, so anybody who wants to write in anybody has time to, you know, to get it together, to put the names on, so they don't have to do it tonight. They can figure it out tomorrow or the next day, which is the equivalent of writing in. I mean, I don't see why you would want to write somebody's name in if you have the chance to put their name on the ballot. And if, you know, even if somebody did come up with a good reason, but I would like to hear it, maybe not during this meeting, but maybe, Serene, you could, you know, call me or write to me and tell me why anybody would want to write in and not have their names on the ballot, since we have everybody here. But if the bylaws say that we have to have the names on the ballot, then we have to have the names on the ballot, and it would be out of order to entertain a method that doesn't comport with the bylaws. So thank you.
Fred?
Yeah, I just got a note that writing in is prohibited in Article 15, Section 1, and I don't have the bylaws in front of me, but people are welcome to look that up.
Okay, Serene, and then we're going to go to
Serene. Now 60 seconds, right?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Serene is 60 seconds, followed by Myla, also 60 seconds.
I just want to say that I'm so thrilled that people who I thought were regularly violating the bylaws last year are rereading the bylaws. And we should try to get it put onto kpftx.org, which is where people go for governance information, get a link, because people don't know where to find it, on pacifica.org. But I think that this language has always been there. It is not a revision. It has always been there, and we have always allowed for nominations from the floor and for write-ins. It is not a contradiction. The intent is to have most of the information already on the ballot, making it easier for people. But there's absolutely no reason why we cannot continue to allow write-ins.
Myla, 60 seconds.
I'd like to say, just because we may have violated the bylaws in the past doesn't mean that we should continue to violate the bylaws. I put in the chat Article 15, Section 1, voting methods from the Pacifica bylaws, and they do state each ballot shall list all candidates for the position. That's very clear. And we're lucky to have OpaVote, which is a secure online voting platform that offers various voting methods, including single transferable vote. And single transferable vote is the specified method of voting in Article 15, Section 1, when it comes to positions that are would be filled by more than one individual.
So what we're going to go now to the vote, because there's opposition to this motion. And note that Serene suggested language about eligible voters will be included. If you vote yes, you were voting to support the motion to that was crafted describing the voting strategy and schedule, and by OpaVote. If you vote no, we'll go back to the question of is there another method. Madam Secretary, would you be kind to take the vote? If you vote yes, we're going forward with what has been written in our agenda.
Yes, I will. As amended by the insertion of the word eligible before voters. Okay. Judge Brown.
Okay, but I'm confused. Are we saying that going forward is in violation of our bylaws?
No. OpaVote is not. What okay. is in violation of the bylaws are write-ins.
Okay.
And this OpaVote, you can nominate people right up to the deadline, but there are not write-ins after the ballot is set.
Okay, yes.
Hodge is a yes. Donna Carter.
I think there's a mistake in how this is being framed. My amendment was to not use OpaVote. So if you want to use OpaVote, you vote.
If you want to use OpaVote, you vote yes. If you don't want to use OpaVote, you do not, you vote no.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Continuing.
Okay, so I'm at Donna Carter.
Pass.
Donna passes.
Point of information. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
What's your point?
OpaVote does not allow write-ins. Other methods do. Is that, I just want to be clear about that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm at Fred Dodsworth.
Yes.
Fred's a yes. Jerome Edge. Keep going.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Jerome's a yes. Sally Gellert.
Pass.
Sally passes. Jan Goodman.
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Julie Hewitt, I'll pass. Avalia Jones.
Yes.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier.
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Philip Muldery, sorry. Philip?
Yes.
Philip's a yes, thank you. Marianne Martinez?
Abstain.
Marianne abstains. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes.
Sean's a yes. Ron Pinchback?
I'm abstain also.
Ron's an abstention. Myla Reason?
Reason votes yes.
Thank you, Myla. Myla's a yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes to not using OpaVote.
But you're no.
No, my motion was to not use OpaVote. So if you're voting yes, you're voting to not use OpaVote.
No, that's not the way that I framed, the motion.
But that wasn't my motion.
The way the chair frames the motion is the way the motion is framed. The way that I framed the way the chair frames the motion is the final statement of the motion. And that is you vote yes If you're voting for OpaVote, you vote no if you vote against OpaVote. So continue.
I do not wish to use OpaVote, hence I made the motion.
I framed the motion. Serene, your motion was not in writing. I framed the motion as I understood it. If you don't want to vote, if you don't want to use OpaVote, vote no.
I'm
recording. Serene, I would like to record your preference as a no vote.
That's what I just said.
Okay. Other people's, I'm sorry. James Sagerton.
James?
I'll keep going.
What's your vote?
I'll keep going and I'll come back. Minerva Sanders?
I'm sorry, let's see, yes, I do want to use OpaVote.
Minerva's a yes. Alex Steinberg?
Abstain.
Alex abstains. Harvey Wasserman?
Can you hear me?
Harvey? Keep going. Dennis Williams?
Yes.
Dennis is a yes. Michael Woodson?
Yes.
Michael's a yes. Let's go back up to the top. Donna Carter, you passed. How do you vote?
Abstain.
Donna abstains. Sally Gellert, you passed.
Abstain.
Sally abstains. Julie, I too will abstain. Let me go back. James Sagerton.
Abstain.
James abstains. And is Harvey there? Harvey, do you wish to vote?
You're on mute. Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now, yes.
Now, yes.
Sorry, I'm having trouble here. I vote yes.
Harvey votes yes. All right. That's everyone. Madam Chair, the yeses are 13, the noes are 1, and a bunch of abstentions.
Okay, great. So the motion to use OpaVote is passed. The next agenda
Point of order.
Yes. What's your point?
Could we please have a count on the abstentions?
Yes. Hang on one sec. I just moved from that screen. The count was 7.
Thank you.
So the next agenda item is nominating candidates for chair, vice chair, and secretary. Let me ask if folks are all right, because we did a round table to introduce ourselves, that there not be candidate statements. If you want candidate statements, we'll do that. So no candidate statements.
I would like candidate statements.
Was that Alex? Okay, great. So, starting, and I'm, Madam Secretary.
Madam Chair, it is 11 p.m. on the East Coast.
I agree.
So, is it possible to expedite this process? I'm sorry. I'm just starting to fade now.
No, understood. And so, Alex, I'm going to say thank you very much, but we're going to move forward with the nominations. Julie, would you please handle the nominations for chair? I submit my name to run for chair.
Sure. I'm requesting nominations for chair. I've got Susan Young nominated. Are there other nominations?
I nominate myself.
I have Alex Steinberg also nominated. Thank you, Alex.
I would like the possibility of making a very quick candidate statement.
Please make
Anyone
it very
else?
Quick.
Okay.
Since let me just check for a second and make sure there's no more nominations this evening. They're not closed. Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to add something I forgot to mention last time, and that is, although I am a listener representative, I'm also very well aware of the other side of the station. I have been involved in broadcasts for WBAI. I've been a freelance journalist for WBAI. I'm very well acquainted with all manner of operations of Pacifica's radio stations and many of the personnel involved. So I just wanted you to know that I'm not a one-dimensional listener representative.
Susan, would you like to make a statement?
No, what I said when we introduced ourselves, I think is adequate.
Okay. Do you want to take back over or do you want me to keep going? Vice chair's next.
Why don't you continue to get the nominations? I see Myla's got her hand up.
Vice chair.
Thank you. I'd like to nominate Minerva Sanders from WPFW, our Jazz and Justice sister station.
For vice
Minerva,
chair?
Do you accept?
I accept.
Thank you. Are there other nominations for vice chair? All right. We'll move on to secretary. Do you want to take back over, Madam Chair? Pro Tem.
Yeah, Madam Chair Pro Tem. Yes, are there nominations for secretary? I nominate Julie Hewitt. Are there any other nominations for secretary? Okay, the nominations from the floor are closed for all three positions, but understanding that you can make nominations until, and what was the date, Julie?
February 2nd, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, and that's Sunday.
So the next item, the last item of business, and we're late right now, is when we will meet next. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, this is Minerva Sanders. I'd like to identify the date of February the 13th. For our next meeting.
Is there any objection? That gives us time to get the balloting done. Okay, hearing none, and I know we're past the time. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Hold on, Madam Chair, aren't we going to discuss the NDA?
I'm
done.
Yeah, no, I don't think we need to because there are discussions about it, but they need to be held with Arthur. So if you have disagreements with it, we'll discuss it with Arthur. Dennis. Okay, if there is no objection, we are adjourned. Okay, good night all.
Good night everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Time is it?
No.
11:07.
Last time for that check was in your checkbook. Did you rip it out?
Hey, Sue, are you still there?
Go, get it up. Ma, leave it. Go to...
Julie?
What was the motion? Sorry, I missed. Julie. What was the motion? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't get unmuted. What I was going to ask is, instead of just setting the next meeting, don't we set like a schedule?
So, I think the answer is yes. But what will happen is, we'll take the voting, we'll do the voting for officers and then probably decide have the chair run the next meeting instead of the chair pro tem and then, set up the schedule going forward.
Okay. What is the
good question?
What's the anticipated frequency? What has it been in the past?
So once upon a time, it was once a month. More recently, I think basically, the last 4 years or so, 3 years, when we kind of sort of first hit the rough financial patch, There was a while where we were meeting weekly. The last year we've met every 2 weeks, so the first and third Thursdays of the month. We just picked, I believe this is the part I'm going to have to go back and listen to the recording. Oh, hang on.
No.
Recording in progress.
I let Otis back. I'm sorry.
Don't.